Today I wanted to have us spend a little bit of time in the Old Testament and think about Abraham. You know, Abraham is an amazing man, a man of great faith, a man who willingly followed God. God spoke to him, and Abraham heard that voice, and then Abraham was willing to just obey God when God spoke to him. I think of it many times. We find Abraham mentioned so many times, not only in the Old Testament, in the history of Abraham's life in Genesis, but over in the New Testament. You start reading in the New Testament, he's listed in the great heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. In Paul writing to the Christians at Rome, he devotes almost an entire chapter. Chapter 4 in Romans is all about faith, and the basis of that faith is looking at Abraham and how Abraham responded to God in faith. And so this morning I'd like to have us consider that we too need to have faith, and a faith like Abraham. Abraham had a faith that just would not give up. He kept hanging in there no matter what the circumstances. That is why we in the 21st century need to be imitating that kind of faith, imitating the faith of Abraham. This morning we want to look at four situations in Abraham's life that demonstrate the greatness of Abraham's faith and see why we should be imitating that kind of faith. So first of all, let's look at the calling of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. You see the scriptures listed up here on the screen. Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all their possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. That's the calling of Abraham. Abraham was 75 years of age when he left security, left home, packed up everything, grabbed his wife, took his nephew, and it says the people they had acquired, you know, think of having household servants and slaves and that kind of thing back then. And he said to them, "Okay, time to go." How many of us would be willing to do that today? 75 years of age, God speaks to you, tells you, "It's time for you to go to the place that I'm going to show you." Now, in this scripture, it doesn't even tell you what that place is. Hebrews in the New Testament makes it clear that Abraham took up everything and headed for a land he didn't even know for sure where it was going to be. Now, they're heading generally to the land of Canaan, but I mean, from over in Haran, Ur of the Chaldees, then to Haran, then from Haran, all the way over to the Palestine, to the land of Canaan. That was quite a trek. I mean, We're not so surprised by making trips nowadays. We hop in an airliner and we fly across the ocean and land in another country. And I mean, yeah, it's a trip, but within hours or within a half a day, you're on the other side of the globe. Wasn't so back then for Abraham, was it? Can you imagine packing everything up and heading out walking? Or you might have had some donkeys or camels, who knows, but you're going literally hundreds of miles to over 1,000 miles to a place that you're not even sure where it is that you're heading. Abraham demonstrated a tremendous amount of faith going to a land that he wasn't even certain where it was. Oh, I mentioned this in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at, if you want to see this, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, tell us that testimony about his heading there. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. Hebrews chapter 11, this great chapter on the heroes of faith, and it says, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Was that a faith? That's a great faith. Going to a place he doesn't even know where it is, and yet, "God, you'll point the way. I'll follow. You direct. I'll obey." What would happen today if a person tried to do that? The rest of the family would be saying, "He's lost his brains. He's lost his marbles. Send him to the nursing home. You know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to take all of our inheritance and squander it, you know, going who knows where." But the man of God, Abraham, listened to God's voice and responded. Abraham had faith enough to leave security, to leave family, extended family, and to head to a place he didn't know about. What about you, folks? How great is your faith? If God was speaking to you, if God was calling to you to leave everything and to go to some place that he didn't even tell you for sure where it was, would you be willing to follow God's voice? Would you act upon your faith and trust in God and do what he told you to do? Many times we sing hymns like, "Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere in this world below." And we sing those songs, and we may think that, yeah, that's a good sentiment, but are we really willing to go anywhere with Jesus and believe that we can be safe? Abraham had that kind of faith. Faith enough to leave security, become a foreigner, learn a new language, live in a new culture, live in tents like gypsies, and follow God and be obedient to him. We want to look at a second situation in Abraham's life. We were in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 13 now, verses 1 through 18. I know it's quite a bit of scripture, but, you know, scripture is better than the few words that I'm going to say anyhow, so just listen to what God has to say in his word. "So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.' Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are, and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. The second incident in the life of Abraham is all about having faith enough to trust God for earthly needs. Now, the scriptures tell us here in the beginning of this story that Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock, in silver and gold, had many people in his household, and so large were his herds that the land couldn't support both Abram and Lot and their herds together in one place. You know, the herds eat up all the grass and then there's no more forage for them. It's time to move on to another place. And yet, each one of them had so much livestock that they couldn't stay together. So what did Abraham do? Abraham said, "Lot, you're my nephew. I'm older than you are, so I'm going to take this place because this is the best, and you go off and find someplace else." No, Abram didn't do that, did he? In fact, he trusted God so much that Abram said to Lot, "You choose, Lot. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right." And he was willing to trust God to provide for his needs, for all his herds, for all his people. And he knew that the God of heaven was in control. It wasn't about Abraham having to manipulate and maneuver and get things according to his own way so that he could take care of his own. It was about an all-powerful God in whom Abraham had placed his trust. Abraham had trust and faith enough in God that he knew that God would provide for his earthly needs. Abraham gave Lot the first choice of all the land. Now that's an exercise of faith, isn't it? And Abraham knew that God would provide. I think we need to ask ourselves, folks, as followers of Christ, how great is our faith in the God of heaven? Are we willing to trust him for all of our earthly needs, just as Abraham was willing to say, "Lot, you choose. God will take care of us. You choose, and I'll take whichever way you don't take." How great is your faith, Christian? Are you willing to trust God with everything? With your family? With your children? With your parents? For food? For clothing? For housing? Whatever it is that you might need, are you willing to trust God for all of that? That's the kind of faith Abraham had, and we need to imitate that kind of faith. It's no wonder to me that Abraham is called the father of the faithful. He demonstrated that great faith. Now, a third incident that we want to look at is in Genesis chapter 14. In verses 17 through 24, we're not going to read all of the passage, but we're going to read verses 17 through 24. This is where Lot and his family and his people, his servants and his herds and everything have all been taken captives. And they've been hustled away by these four kings, and Abram finds out that they've been kidnapped. And so we're going to pick up in verse 17 and read through 24 of how Abraham goes to rescue Lot and all of his people. At the end of the time where Abraham is already gone, he's He took his men, they hurry after them, they recover Lot and all of his people and his goods. That's what you find there in verse 16. We're going to read from 17 through 24 and see how Abraham's faith is demonstrated again. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, in the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." I think, again, Abraham is demonstrating a great faith in the God that we have in the Bible. What is it that he is demonstrating in faith this time? He was demonstrating that he had enough faith in God that he didn't have to worry about taking the spoils, so to speak. He was worried about getting Lot, his, you know, family, and his people, and his herds back, and all of the men who went with Abram. Abram said, "No, let them take their share. You know, they get a share of what they did in rescuing all these people." But Abram said, "No, I don't want anything. Not even the thread of a sandal, the thong of a sandal. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever." Abraham was wealthy. He went after Lot and his household, rescued them by defeating the four kings, and they took all of the people and the belongings back, and that means also that they took the things that belonged to the four kings. You understand that, right? In battle, you defeat the others, you take their stuff. You know, it's like winner takes all, you know, kind of a thing, and off they headed with those things. And yet Abram was not going to take anything for himself. He gave a tenth, that is a tithe, of all that was taken back to Melchizedek, this God of the priest of the God Most High, and yet he was not willing to take anything for himself. Abram had faith enough that he gave a tenth back to God, trusting that he didn't need anything else for himself. From Abraham to Moses to the law, and even to the time of the church today, those who worshiped God returned a tenth of their income. It became a part of what God had intended for God's people. Under the Old Testament law through Moses, it was a requirement. They had to give a tithe back. And then there was a second tithe for a special service. And every seventh year there was another tithe. I mean, can you imagine giving up to 20 or 30% of your income to the Lord? That's what was required at times under the Old Testament law. This is giving as we have been prospered, that we read about in 1 Corinthians. And that's what Paul taught, that we need to give back to the Lord as we have been prospered. We have to have faith to do that. I firmly believe, fellow Christians, that if each and every one of us had faith like Abraham and willing to give a tenth back to God, his church would never lack. There would be enough for the local work of the church. There would be enough for missions around the world. Everything would be cared for. God has a plan, and his plan is best. We need to imitate the faith of Abraham. Let's imitate that faith in our lives in the 21st century, the faith that Abraham had in God. There's one other time that we want to look now at Abraham's life over in Genesis chapter 22. It's a long passage, but I think we have time, we can get through it here. Genesis chapter 22, and this is probably the most famous way in which we recognize Abraham's faith. He had faith enough to sacrifice everything and be obedient to God. Let's read together from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, "Here I am." He said to him, "Abraham," and "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah." That is around the Jerusalem area, by the way, folks. "Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Can you imagine just that much? Take your son Isaac and sacrifice him on one of the mountains I'll tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." That's the Jehovah Jireh that you might hear in some of the Christian songs nowadays. That's what that passage, that's where that comes from in this passage. "The Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. What a tremendous faith. Abraham had faith enough that he was willing to sacrifice everything. Now, you might remember in Abraham's life that God had told him he was going to have a son. Abraham was already 90 years of age, and it didn't happen for almost 10 years. And then finally, you know, in interim time, Sarah says, "Well, I'm not able to bear any children. Here, take my handmaid as your wife." And so he marries the handmaid and has a child through the handmaid, and that child's name was Ishmael. And yet God says, "No, this is not the one. It's going to be from your wife, Sarah. You're going to have a son." Finally, Isaac is born, and you remember part of that story, the name of Isaac, you remember what it means? He laughed. Or she laughed, you know. And it was because the angel told Abraham, your wife is going to have a son next year at this time. And Sarah's on the other side of the tent wall, and she's laughing about, oh yeah, I'm in my 90s and I'm going to have a son, you know. And yet, God said it is so. And that's why he was named Isaac. Isaac then grows up. He's still a young man. And it's in this time that Abraham is told by God, take your son and offer him on the mountain of Moriah. And I'll show you that place. So off they go. They take the wood. They take the knife. They take the fire. And servants are going. They're taking it all. They have it all together. And even Isaac recognizes, Father, you don't have a sheep or a ram or anything for a sacrifice. Where's the lamb or the sheep for the sacrifice? Don't worry, my son. God will provide the sacrifice. And yet he knew, God had already told him, that sacrifice was going to be his own son. And so Isaac goes with him. You know, the whole story we've just read about. Isaac gets his hands bound. He's laid on top of the wood on the altar that Abraham had built. And Abraham raises the knife to take his son's life. And the angel speaks to him and says, Abraham, Abraham, stop. You know, don't do it. Now I know that you have not withheld anything from me, God says. You are willing to sacrifice even your son. Abraham had a tremendous faith, a faith that was willing enough to offer even the son that God had promised to him. Now, you know, I'm surprised. I think today, if God spoke to one of us and told us to go sacrifice a child, what would be our first response? Is this really God? You know, is this really God speaking to me? Or why? We have all kinds of questions, wouldn't we? Why, Lord? What purpose could this have? You're not willing that we would kill our own children as an offering to you. Why would you want us to do this? Abraham didn't say those kinds of things. God told him to do it. And it says in the scripture, the next day he got up and they went about doing it. His faith was in God and he trusted God no matter what. What about Christians today? How much are you willing to trust in God and sacrifice all that he gives you? Are you willing to sacrifice your time? Are you willing to sacrifice your energy? Are you willing to give money? Are you willing to give your children? Maybe not on an altar where you're going to take their life, but are you willing to give your children for the work of the kingdom of God? I remember early on in our mission experience, we were in Mexico, and the missionary family we were staying with, we were just there for the summer. This is my first experience in missions. And I remember this couple teaching us about the children we have are given to us as a gift from God, and we need to learn to give them back to him. They are his. And so even when a child was sick, they would pray over their child and say, Lord, this is your child. We give him or we give her back to you. And we trust that you will do what is right in your sight. We pray for healing. But Father, this child is yours. Do you have that kind of faith, folks? In which you're willing to put your children in God's hands and trust that he will do what is best with each and every one of them? Abraham had enough faith to be willing to sacrifice his only son in obedience to God. Well, we've looked at four cases this morning. Abraham had faith enough to leave security, to leave home. God told him, go off to this land. I'll show you where it is. You just head that way. You'll get there eventually, and I'll tell you where it is. Had faith enough to leave security. Secondly, he had faith enough to trust God for all his earthly needs. Abraham said to Lot, okay, you choose. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. Trusting that God can care for us in everything that we need. Thirdly, he was willing to trust God and even give back a tenth, a tithe to Melchizedek, priest of the God Most High, are you willing to give back to God as He blesses you? And then lastly, faith enough to sacrifice all, to give even that thing that is most precious, that son, that daughter, back to God. How about you, fellow Christian? Will you, can you imitate the faith of Abraham and follow in his footsteps? I'm reminded of a passage in Romans chapter 4 that really speaks to my heart as we consider this imitating the faith of Abraham. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, where it teaches us one more thing there. God says, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, in the sense of the faith, the father of the faith. What about those who have never placed their faith in Christ? Folks, the only way to be found acceptable in God's eyes is to have great faith in God. And He calls each and every one of us to put our faith in His Son, Jesus. Are you willing to give everything back to God as Abraham has done? Willing to give everything to Him so that you might find forgiveness for your sins and a new life in Christ? If you're here this morning and you need to make that kind of decision, we invite you to do so. All of us who have already made that decision are followers of Christ. We've been living our lives for Him. We're trying to imitate the faith that we find in Abraham. We're trying to walk by that faith. And we invite you to do the same. And folks, I tell you, it is the sweetest life. The sweetest life is walking in faith with God and trusting Him for everything. Doesn't mean that life's going to be easy. Satan always wants to throw obstacles in front of us, doesn't he? Even as Christians, he tries to cause us to fail. Tries to cause us to give up and to turn our backs on God and on Christ. But folks, God gives us the power through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of each and every Christian to overcome all of Satan's attacks. And we can live joyously. We can live without fear in trusting that God is doing what is best in our lives. If you're here this morning and you've never named Jesus as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing hymn number 470, Footsteps of Jesus.